Hello, everybody, and welcome to the March 2016 Q&A episode of Weekly Manga Recap. I'm Y-Rot here alongside Rollo T. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing standard, Nick.
Standard, okay.
Standard. Like a test or a number two pencil. It's all standardized, and that's where I'm at right now.
Standard as opposed to Fusion or Xyz or Synchro. Okay.
Or Wild, yes. All these nerdy references we're making now.
Mm-hmm. There are many different things that use the word standard as part of their terminology. Yes.
And I like to think we've captured the essence of all of them.
I'm sure that there are more. Yes. Anyhow, it's question time. It's where we read the questions that you've sent to us, and we bitch about how long it's going to take to answer them, and then skip over them to get to the easier ones.
Yeah, we give up on it halfway through. Like, this question's taking too long.
We're terrible at our jobs, I'm sorry. But we actually, it's usually, as you reminded me, and I had to quickly think of a question to ask you, we tend to actually ask each other a question first to start the stuff off. You want to go first?
Sure. Nick, I'm super excited right now because the new trailer for Civil War just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it yet, pause, go watch it. But then at the very end of it, as many people know, we see our first glimpse of what Spider-Man will look like in the new connection with the MCU. So, Nick, I know you enjoy Spider-Man a lot. Mm-hmm. What say you on the new Spider-Man?
He looks kind of weird. I mean, I like that they have finally done the thing where it's just like, yeah, sure, the mask will narrow its eyes. It's like, fuck yeah. That happens all the time in, like, the cartoons and the comics and stuff like that. That's cool. The entire, like, rest of the suit, though, looked very weird to me. It looked very fake.
Oddly enough, it's a suit that is the most, people are concerned because, like, it's all CGI, but I don't think there's actually any CGI involved with the actual costume itself. I know the lids are a little bit CGI, though, because if you've seen Deadpool, his eyes do, like, move, right, but there's no reason to it in the universe. It's just that it is. But if you look in the images for Civil War, you can actually see there are, like, flaps on his eyes in the black and the white part. So it actually is, like, a technology, presumably, in his suit that allows the eyes to narrow, kind of, I guess, to, like, zoom in on things.
Mm.
And I think that the suit itself also is intended to be taken apart, so that's why there's kind of, like, weird little looks to it at points. But, part of it's probably going to be, I think the suit isn't finished yet in CGI, but they wanted to kind of get it out there for people to be like, oh, Spider-Man's in this movie!
I actually have a great story about this, by the way.
Okay, go for it.
So I saw the trailer, of course, like, the day that it came out, and I was like, oh, shit, Spider-Man's with the Avengers. So potentially, hopefully, that's going to be very good. So my dad is a huge geek. I inherited a lot of my geekiness from him, and so I told him about it, and he was like, "Oh, great! Yeah, I heard that they might be getting Spider-Man for Marvel, but I'm surprised he's actually going to be in Civil War. That's cool." So next day after he's watched it, I go to bed my day and stuff, and he comes to me, he's like, have you seen the Civil War trailer? I'm like, yeah, I told you about it, remember? Oh, okay. Is Andrew Garfield in it? I'm like, no, it's some new guy, some, like, 19-year-old kid. And he's like, really? Because here, look. And he's like, show me this email that he's also sent to a whole bunch of people. And he's like, isn't this Andrew Garfield in the trailer? And I look at him, I was like, yeah, it's a lot like him. Because he's just got, like, a screen capture, so you can't really see well. But then he, like, pulls up the video, and he's like, so here it is in the video. I'm like, yeah, that is Andrew Garfield. That's really weird. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Skip around to a few different points. And he's kind of skipping around. I'm like, okay, the X-Men are in this trailer. This is fake, Dad.
Your dad's like, I looked up this trailer for Avengers 3, and did they mention Hugh Jackman's going to be in it? Alongside Nicolas Cage as Ghost Rider, it seems?
Well, then the funny thing is, I get into, because he's got it, on full screen, so I'm like, take it off full screen. And I point down, like, Dad, this was made in, like, October, and it says fan-made trailer on the description. He's like, oh!
Dad, do you know how to use the internet?
Well, the thing is, like, my dad is very smart. Like, he is, you know, a huge geek. He was playing, you know, D&D in the 80s and stuff. He should know to watch for these things. It's not like he's like, what? You mean they can just make trailers? People can just make them up themselves?
People can lie on the internet? Has the internet been warned?
He's seen some of the stuff that I have made, you know, editing and stuff. So he knows that it's not very difficult to edit videos together and stuff like that. But it just, like, he just completely was not watching out for it, I guess. And so it did not occur to him at all that it could possibly be fake. And so, of course, you know, he just, you know, assumed, oh, you know, they're going to have Spider-Man and the Avengers. But he did think that it was going to be someone else. And he was like, is this Andrew Garfield? That's weird, you know. So. Oh, God.
Very great if he, like, texts you at work, like, son, Andrew Garfield and Wolverine are going to be in the same movie. Come see.
Oh, I do wish. Because, honestly, like, Spider-Man being with the Avengers is cool. Spider-Man being with the X-Men.
I'm excited to shit for Civil War, though. The Spider-Man reveal does little for me. Like, I think it's cool to be in it. I'm just super excited because everything I've seen for that movie, I'm like, oh, I love the Russos writing Captain America because they nailed him so well in the first one. Well, second one, I guess, rather. But I just love the little nuances they do to, like, capture that character so well. Like, he has the line that's reiterated from the first movie when Tony Stark's beating him up. And it's that little shot of, like, Sokovia getting destroyed. You can see Scarlet Witch is getting disturbed. And he's like, that's enough. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, Cap's looking out for everybody. He's a hero, Nick.
What I find to be most intriguing about it is that they've taken Black Widow and put her on the opposite team as both Cap and Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's really weird, you know, that you would side with frickin' Iron Man over the two of them. You know?
I think there's a reason for it, probably related to Bucky.
Presumably there's, like, a difference in, you know, just their moralities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because, like, yeah, those three characters are very, you know, Black Widow's very close to each of them in different ways.
Yeah.
The opposite side. I know that some people have a lot of concerns about that movie, in particular, just that they made a Civil War movie at all. Because a lot of people hate it. But, I don't know, I never read those comics.
I mean, I've heard the comics are god awful, but it's one of those things where it's like.
Well, it features Captain America. Basically saying democracy sucks, so...
Yeah. Well, I think it also had a lot of very bad, like, it turns Tony Stark into an asshole and things like that.
Right.
So, in my mind, I'm of the notion of it's named Civil War and taking some of the intentions of the story of Civil War, but it's not going to be following the same script. Like, the Winter Soldier movie is nothing like the Winter Soldier comic book. I mean... They're same in name only in that they both reintroduce Bucky as the Winter Soldier into the current storyline. Outside of that, though, there's very little similarity between them.
Yeah, despite being named the Winter Soldier, the Winter Soldier was basically the secondary plot of that movie.
Yeah, which is why I'm not too concerned about the fact that Civil War, the comic book, isn't well-received, but Civil War, the movie, I'm super excited for.
We'll see how it goes.
I'm not excited at all, though, for Civil War 2 that they're doing in the comic books. I keep seeing them tweet images of it, of, like, the choose your side, protect the future, or whatever. And every one of them, like, this just seems like a bad idea. I don't know why you're going back to this well a second time.
Because it's old.
Oh my god, comics are so sad.
Anyway, my question for you, this is going to be a bit more of a personal one.
Okay.
We went out drinking, and I embarrassed myself while you were visiting here.
I don't think so, but go ahead.
All right. I think we actually, yeah, we would have known each other, actually, when we each turned 21. So I think that you might have actually told me this already, but what was your first experience going out and drinking like?
Well, that was back when I was 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it was a night of drinking, and I tanked my way through it. We started off the day, I went to a bar. I think that's where I had lunch with my dad and my family, and I think I just had a couple beers there. Then we went out shooting at a gun range, and then I came back to my apartment. My brother made us all, him and a couple friends, made some drinks. Can't remember, I think it was like whiskey and Cokes or something like that. Then we went to a strip club, and I had a couple of shots while I was there. And then we went to another bar where I had an Irish car bomb for the first time and then drank about half a pitcher of beer myself. Jeez. And then I got home and I was barely even tipsy. I was like, this is easy. Drinking's easy. And it turns out you don't keep that kind of stamina for your entire life, especially when you lose, you know, about 33% of your body weight.
Right.
So now I'm not nearly as tanky, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But my first night drinking, I was like, this is nothing. For probably like a good 2 years, I was like, drinking's easy. Like, this doesn't, I've never had a hangover, I've never gotten sick, I've never had any of that. And then I had New Year's Eve once, and I drank half a bottle of Jameson in 45 minutes, and I found out that was not true anymore. And I spent the entire night throwing up into Adam's mom's toilet.
And my 21st birthday, I spent at home. Life's very different when you don't drink.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not too much else you can do when you're 20. I mean, it's gambling, but even then, like, it's not really... If you don't drink, it's not like it's a special birthday otherwise. Mm-hmm. Is really all it is. Like, when you're 18, when you're 18, I'm like, I guess I can go out and vote and smoke.
You go out and get a gun.
Yeah. These things I really didn't need to do. It's like, you know, like when you're 17, you're like, I'm going to go see an R-rated movie. I don't care what's out. I'm just going to see an R-rated movie or something like that. I think that's like a... It's less of a tradition, but I think it's something that everybody can do, whereas opposed to 21st, everyone's like, go out drinking! And you're like, I don't want to subscribe to a vice that people use to make their lives easier by becoming unconscious for hours in a day.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. So, I guess we'll answer some questions now from our audience. Yeah, let's start in... Did we actually get into February? No, we're in the middle of January right now. But
I feel we'll be able to cruise through it.
All right, I've already got quite a number of responses prepared, so I think that we'll go a little bit more smooth this time around.
All right.
We'll start off with from Wensleydale Cheddar. Dear Chris Rolotree Larios and Nick... Why are we here? What's life all about? I'm not going to do the whole thing. It's the lyrics to Monty Python's Meaning of Life. Yeah, it's like the entire song. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Including multiple choruses and stuff. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'm sorry, I can't do it. We've got to move on to the actual question.
Freeman.
I have some more questions for you. Question number first. Soon enough, you fine gents are going to have the 5th anniversary of your show. Isn't that right? Yes. Next email.
We're done. That was the show, everybody. Thank you. Like that one episode of the Quickie Mart, or The Simpsons, where they go to the Quickie Mart, and it's like, you can ask 3 questions, and everybody's like, are you really the owner of the Quickie Mart? Yes. Really? Yes. Really? Yes. Thank you, come again.
Actual question. As 2 highly experienced podcast producers, what is your advice to young content creators out there trying to start their own podcasts? I believe we answered variations of this before. My typical advice is do something you're going to enjoy. Because, mm-hmm. You never know if something's going to catch on or not, unless you already have a pre-existing media empire and you can just kind of force people to do it. Like celebrities who start doing podcasts, it always tends to work out fairly well, as evidenced by the large number of former wrestlers with podcasts, some of which are good, some of which are shit. So, yeah. But they always seem to work out just because, like, well, you know, they've got, you know, celebrity clout and they got sponsorships going into the podcast and stuff like that. If you're just, you know, someone who is doing a startup, you're doing a podcast, there's no guarantee you're going to be successful or a failure or whichever. So, make sure you love doing it. Uh-huh. It's, you know, it's the same thing as basically, you know, any piece of, like, oh, I want to do my online videos, I want to, you know, write articles online, I want to, you know, write podcasts and stuff. Make sure you're going to enjoy doing it. You can dedicate yourself to it as much or as little as you want in order to, you know, oh, I want to, you know, add effects, I want to, you know, make music for it, I want to do all, you know, effects, I want to set this schedule, I want to set this schedule and so on. You can have it take up as much or as little of your time as you want. But you got to make sure that you love doing it, because otherwise, what's the point?
Absolutely. One big piece of advice I always try to give out when I hear somebody's trying to start making content for their first time is to continue making it after the first few episodes, because oftentimes, I know why I did it and I've heard other people do it, when you make the first episode of something, you're like, this didn't come out the way I wanted. I didn't like the way this came out. Just keep at it. The flow, everything like that, as you do for your shows, your reviews, your podcasts, whatever it may be, those will get better with time. So I don't get discouraged when the first episode comes out. You're like, oh, I could improve upon this. Put things out, you know, let yourself grow, let yourself kind of advance and keep at it. The only other thing I can kind of give is understand your expectations for what you're doing. If you're like, I want to become super successful and famous, the one thing to remember is if you're doing that, you need to have an idea on what your show is. And don't just have it be me and a group of my friends sit around and we talk about video games and nerd stuff, because, you know, I don't want to discourage anybody, but that market is extremely covered. So by all means, if you just enjoy doing that, go for it. But if you want to, you know, make a podcast that's going to be downloaded by a lot of people, you need to kind of hit a topic that's a little bit more niche to kind of attract an audience, especially if you don't have something built in to already go to it. So, you know, if you're Jake the Snake Roberts listening to this and you're like, I want to start up a podcast about calling people the N-word, he can do that. He can do exactly what he wants.
Okay, hang on a second. Hulk Hogan would do that.
Jake the Snake did it. I watched it. It's a sad day. But the idea being that if you don't have like a built-in audience and you're just throwing your name out into the hat, there's a lot of competition in that market and you're not going to get seen very much. So just kind of have an idea. If you want to kind of build up a natural audience, try to hit something that's going to appeal to a specific group of people, and that way you can kind of get your foot in the door.
How long ago was it that Jake the Snake did this?
Probably like 2008 or 2009.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it was a while. It was before he did his the Diamond Dallas Page stuff.
It was kind of a mess. Him and basically everyone who needs like that kind of, you know, help and hasn't gotten it yet, it's pretty bad. So anyhow, you mentioned the keep going even if you're not satisfied with how things are at first. Yeah, if something, being a perfectionist, there is a time and place for that, and sometimes it can help make something very good, but, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with managing expectations, as you mentioned. You're not going to get everything perfect the first time, and you are going to get better at it as you go along. If I go back and listen to some of the early episodes of this podcast, you know, because it's like, oh, I want to go back down memory lane, I don't remember, you know, doing the podcast with, like, this guest or covering this series and stuff, I listen to the sound quality, I'm like, wow, it's so much better now than it was back then. We're so much more comfortable talking about this than you know, we were back then. And if, yeah, I mean, like, if I had been as conscious of that back then as I am now, I would have probably had a much more difficult time actually continuing to do it, because I'd be like, oh, God, it sounds so terrible. It's going to keep on sounding terrible. But now I know it's like, no, we're more comfortable talking about stuff. We know how to keep the ball rolling better. We know how to have a better back and forth when we're joking about stuff. And we come across more clearly when we're talking about a series and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. We're better at it now than we were back then. And that's just going to come with experience on something. So yes, absolutely. Like, if you are really interested in doing a podcast, give yourself a little bit of time to get the ball rolling, to build momentum, to get comfortable with what you're trying to do, because I guarantee, yes, it is going to get better as you go along. You're going to see a dramatic improvement early on, but then after you've gotten through the first handful of episodes, if you keep on doing it, it will continue and continue and continue to get better and better.
Mm-hmm. I was going to be like, hashtag it gets better, Nick, but then I was like, that actually is for a much more important topic, not about podcasts.
There's a support group for people who are trying to start their podcast, Chris. Very important. Thousands of Americans.
Every day they start a podcast and I'm not sure how good it is. And I'm here to tell you, as a Z-grade podcaster, hashtag it gets better. A lot of gay people in this trending tag. Why's that?
Wow. Lots of gay people who are suffering no podcast about their plight.
I feel you guys.
And that was only the first part of that question, so let's move along.
Okay.
Question number for Chris. As the proud owner of the character Kai Owens on your One Piece RP forum, what would you say his stance as a cook on Honey Mustard would be?
I imagine he would enjoy it greatly.
I wouldn't. Isn't that up to you as the creator of the character?
Yeah. I'm speaking to this as though I'm really just like the puppeteer for a creature that has his own will and device. I'm like, I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask him. And like, that's theater of the mind comes in. And I'm just like, well, hey, it's me, Kai Owens, and I love honey mustard. It's a great fucking ingredient.
Which carries us directly into the next part of the question. Would you be able to say the line, am I not sweating enough, in what you imagine to be his voice?
I don't imagine he sounds like Sylvester Stallone, but my friend Ray, actually, because I had played this character with him at one point, said he always imagined this character to talk like Toriko, but just wearing a top hat and a monocle, because he had like a more fancy way of speaking. So I imagine he says it exactly like that, okay. How Toriko talks.
Question number Frosh, actually related to manga this time. Would you be able to invent your own wacky One Piece island? I know Chris is because forum, so maybe the question is more directed at Nick instead. And don't just answer, yes, I would very much be able to, or no, I flatly ask you to fuck off. I worked my arse off to turn that request into an actual question, even if semantically it still remains a request instead of an interrogatory sentence. You know what I mean. Well, that was a very long explanation. Anyway.
He wants to know what happened if you've been in a One Piece island.
I turned this question over in my mind a couple of times because I was like, I don't know. But then I thought, well, what kind of places have the Straw Hats been? And it's like, okay, well, they're currently on a moving island because of the giant elephant. We've had, you know, these types of environments before. You know, they've had a snowy one. We've had underwater. We've had the clouds. But I don't think that they've ever actually been to, like, a volcanic island.
I mean, the first half of Punk Hazard was a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so, but, like, nothing really playing around with, like, the actual existence of, you know, volcanic activity and lava and stuff. And you could say, it's like, well, that's because there would be, you know, no society there. But, you know, look at frickin' Zoe. Like, you know, they routinely deal with floods, so why can't you have, you know, some sort of people there somehow very highly acclimated to, you know, I don't know, the ash and the heat and all that stuff. Uh-huh. I think it would be interesting to see that.
Yeah, definitely. I could see it. It would make just about anything work. I don't know if I need to answer this question. I did, like, make a One Piece form with that's, like, 80% original islands. A cowboy island, I guess. Like, just to get the quickest and easiest answer. I think that'd be kind of cool. Like, an old West island with, like, six shooters and shit like that.
And that's it for the questions there. So, moving on.
Questions here from Michael Herc. He says, hey, Chris, give me that rock and rollo tea that soothes my soul, Larios. And Nick, why am I the ruler of time? Unohana is dead and never coming back. Sorry to need to say that like 30 times to make up for all the times I missed it, Freeman. I have some questions for you. With Naruto and Gakuyo Hote finished, is there anyone in manga that you currently read that we would do the Madara Ichiya Edwin voice for, or the me-so-stupid-sounding Hulk Tento voice?
Me even more stupid-sounding Hulk?
Yeah, like me somewhere dumb. Tento not like that.
I think that voice has to be exclusive to Tento. That's just my opinion. The Edwin voice, though, I think is too valuable for us to let it have died as quickly as it did. Because, I mean, we were in the you know, home stretch of Naruto when we started giving that voice to Madara. But it's such a fun voice to do for either of us that I think we've got to, you know, give it to another character at some point.
I'm sure at some point some will come in. Some villain that we just want. Like, Leashed, I'm sure at some point is going to get a silly voice. We're just like,
we are chosen by Mangana.
I will take you down. I gotcha. Oh, I've been defeated again. Who would have thought?
No, I keep on getting my ass kicked.
No. Now the children are coming in to beat me up. Go away. Oh, they all have darkness and mirror magic. This is so unfair. I know this is going to sound sacrilegious, but what would a woodworking manga series be like, and what sort of characters would be in it?
I think that it would be along the lines of kind of like a cooking manga. You know, have people try and prepare, you know, different woodworking works and put them up against each other through the power of carpentry and stuff. They could exemplify different techniques, and there are quite a few different techniques in carpentry that you could have be people's, you know, weird specialties, like they do in Shokugeki no Soma.
I would make it a pure comedy series where these woodworkers are just working hard at their craft, but then Nia Nicker in the series is like a Boris and Natasha kind of role, like constantly trying to sabotage them, and always failing and ending up like in an explosion or like with nails in her head, like, ow, we'll look at them next time, Nick.
When you started off by saying comedy series, I thought you were going to say it's like people constantly cutting their fingers off.
Oh, it's a fucking Liquid Television, the handy dad or whatever, who's like, all right, I'm going to make this birdhouse. And it's like 5 minutes of him just breaking off his own fingers. Like, oh, Jesus, why? Oh, no, I think that'd be pretty amusing. Third question here. I think it's unfair people bug Nick a lot about Red Right to Left, so I'm going to bug Chris about something. When's Transmission Awesome coming back? I will tell you this. So, Transmission Awesome did come back very briefly. We did an episode of Linkara. We had a new host lineup. It was myself, that chick with the goggles, and Gaff. And then that episode came up, and then there were no other episodes. And to kind of cut to the middle of this without getting too deeply into details, we actually recorded two more episodes of that show, one with Benzai and one with Kerbifer. And those episodes never got out, and it's entirely my fault for the reason those episodes weren't out. Essentially, when I recorded the first episode, it was at a point in my life where things got pretty bad for me mentally for a while. So I wasn't in a good state of mind and I wanted to work on the podcast or anything like that. So I didn't for a while. I had the other two episodes. One was almost completely edited. The Benzai episode was almost completely finished, but I just couldn't finish working on the cold opening. And as kind of weeks went by, it got like, it moved from like, I don't want to work on this because I'm depressed, to being, I don't want to work on this because I'm embarrassed that this episode hasn't been out. Because we're fucking talking, like half the episode spent talking about the World Cup that ended like 6 months ago. And eventually, then my computer crashed. And those files, I think, were all still stuck on that hard drive that I don't know if I can recover those. So, unfortunately at this point, I don't think Transmission Awesome is going to come back. At least not with me in any involvement with it. I still like the idea of doing like a late night talk show kind of podcast, but honestly, it's tough to do a Transmission Awesome show for me because, and this isn't a slide on the network or anyone involved with it, I don't have time to really watch everything on Channel Awesome anymore. Not like I did in the days when I did Transmission Awesome every day. So, I am actually really bummed though because there were two really good episodes there, including a game on the third episode. Because my big thing is I want every episode to end with a game. So the first two was hypotheticals. But the last one had a game called Trollo Tease Trivia, which was the funnest fucking game for me. I almost wondered if I should explain it or keep it a surprise in case I ever tried to revive it.
That's up to you.
I guess I can explain it because even just telling you the way it works doesn't really alter anything. So essentially the way it works is that it's a game played initially with me and another person, an audience member. And then on the show, I play it with the co-host. So it was Gav and Chrissy competing against each other, representing another audience member. So I would do this interview with one audience member. I kind of asked them a few questions beforehand just to get an idea of what their interests were. And then I'd say, okay, so in this example, it was the guy liked Kingdom Hearts. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give you a trivia questions about Kingdom Hearts. So I recorded with him. I asked him the five questions. He gives me his answers. Then I go on the show. I play a little snippet of the interview prior to me asking the questions, just kind of a way for Gab and Chrissy to understand what his comfortable knowledge of Kingdom Hearts is. And then I'm like, all right, you guys, I'm going to give you the question, and you two have to guess whether or not he gets it right. And whichever one of you gets the most points wins. The trick of this is, it's Trollo T Trivia. So the first, like, two questions are stupidly easy. Like, What's the first world Sora goes to? What is the name of the boss of fucking Agrabah? Then, like, the fourth question was, like, name two of the executive design leading translation members. Like, fucking, like, obscure questions. And the fifth one was just pure horseshit. The fifth one was, explain nobodies to me. Go. And I was like, there's no right answer to this. You're fucked either way. It was just meant to be a trivia quiz that just gets slowly, slowly more and more bullshit as time goes on. I don't know why. I find that idea so enchanting, so I may revive that in some way, because I still love the shit out of that.
That reminds me of something that Tom White, he is an evil genius, did. He explained it to me, and I watched the video later. He hosted a game show with a set of, you know, like, different people on it. Like, I think Doug Walker was on it. I think Lakara was on it. And then it was like, I think Mara Wilson was involved. And they were partnered into teams of two. And what he basically designed to be just him being a tremendous dick to them by, like, for example, he put Lakara on, I think it might have been Pat the NES guy. You know, a guy who was, you know, got a lot of gaming knowledge. Mm-hmm. And he asked Lakara, you know, a relatively easy Mega Man trivia question. But, like, Lakara had, like, never played Mega Man before. So, it's like, no, only Lakara can answer this question. If your partner answers it, you don't get any points. So, you know, Pat's just there, being like, come on, get him! You know, it's like, he's like, you know, asked him, like, what is Mega Man's Japanese name instead, you know, basically.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then he basically did, you know, variations on that, and, you know, just basically, like, questions to basically get all of the different participants to get them pissed off.
Get infuriated. That's what I want Trollo T Trivia to be, is, like, the fun of it is that the contestants have to laugh, but then you have the people on the show who are like, how the fuck am I supposed to know if he knows this? I assume not, right? I may revive that in some way, because I do love, not only the name, but I just love the premise of, like, a quiz show that you go into. You're like, yeah, I'm a super big fan of, let's say, like, DC Comics, and, like, three questions in, I'm just like, which president in 1948? Like, just random bullshit. You're like, this is horseshit. No, this is Trollo T's Trivia. You just got trolloed, which isn't a verb, but I made it one. But yes, that is all the questions from okay. Michael Hurt. Thank you, Michael, for your questions.
All right, next up. Hello, why Dialga, ruler of time, and rollout Graveler, Supernova RX here with questions.
I just want to note, Nick got the way cooler Pokemon than I did.
Dialga,
I mean,
and Graveler.
Dialga sucks. I don't like Dialga. Gen 4 blows. But seriously, you got a legendary Pokemon, I'm Graveler. I'm not in the final stage of my Pokemon line.
Excuse me, Chris, are you a Steel Dragon? I don't fucking think so.
I mean, I'm ground, part ground, so I can earthquake you.
Not, I'm Steel!
Not that bad. Yeah, but the ground's good against Steel.
Yeah, but Rock is weak against Steel.
Yeah, well, that's why I have to outspeed you, which is never going to happen.
Yes. That rare legendary type that is slower than a Graveler.
Slower than a tier 2 rock type from Gen 1.
Shuckle's a legendary, right? Supernova RX here with questions. If you took the Astro Mega Ship and Morphers for a week, what would you do?
I know Astro Mega Ship. I guess that's what the Power Rangers in Spaceship.
Mm-hmm. And the Astromorphers were what they used to transform.
So essentially being like, if you could take a spaceship and Power Ranger Morphers for a week, what would you do? I mean, sell them? Not for nothing. I love being a hero, but if it's like it's going to be confined entirely within a week, I think I might just sell them and make some money. I'm going to fly them. Where does Lakara live now? I'm going to fly them to his place, and I'm going to be like, hey there, buddy. You want a sweet deal on some actual
like,
power?
Hey, why do you have the Astro Mega Ship?
Is that what the car sounds like?
You want me to try and do an actual car? His voice is at a very different pitch than mine.
I would have just done like a Canadian accent, like, "Hey there, everybody, it's me, Linkara." Woof, rough.
I was gonna say that.
He just says the words that I know he says differently than me. That's how he identifies himself.
He's just like, rough, Power Rangers.
Wider.
Apple's blue uniform.
So I'd be like, hey, look, Carr, you want to buy these? Because I don't know where I got them, but I can only have them for a week. But presumably when I sell them to you, you could keep them. So let me get some of that sweet Atop the Fourth Wall money.
He just, like, does the entire rest of Atop the Fourth Wall in front of, like, a curtain.
Flying off.
I had to sell all of my costumes and props. No. Oh, God. Second, how would you do Toriko as a horror soap opera? What kind of question is this?
I mean, it's already trying to be a little bit of a horror point, so I guess you just do the Neo stuff, but then you're like, alright, well, we want to do this soap opera, so we have to write, like, 6 more female characters for this, as opposed to the 2.
We just make the gay subtext.
Yeah, we just make it a gay soap opera. Like, everyone in the series is gay all of a sudden.
Yeah. And you just, you know, take some of the weird reveals and have them be done more dramatically.
Like, yeah.
You're not Chi-Chi. Who are you?
Oh my god, it already is a gay soap opera because we just found out that Toriko and Star June are brothers. Well, I mean, we've known for a while, but, like, they just realized it. Yeah, like, yeah, that's what you don't understand, Toriko. I am your brother. Bronto! My mom's in her room watching it. Like, this is great. Mom watches a lot of garbage soap operas.
And lastly, why don't you guys just make a honey mustard Pop-Tart?
There's very few things I feel honey mustard would not improve. I do firmly believe Pop-Tarts are the one thing. That should be... I feel like the next time... I don't know how we do it, but the next time me and Nick meet, if we ever do, like, anything live for Weekly Manga Recap, like, if we do, like, a 5th-year anniversary special, like, together... That's what it is. We had to eat a honey mustard flavored Pop-Tart.
Well, the difficulty about it is that with Pop-Tarts, like, the filling is, like, it's this weird, soft but hardened filling, you
like
know?
Almost like a gel. So you'd have to make, like, a honey mustard gel sort of thing.
Right, yeah. It would be really weird. It would, I mean, if someone is willing to try and make this for us, fine. But I'm not going to bother with it.
Yeah, that would be amusing that I had to eat a honey mustard flavored Hot Pocket. That would be pretty brutal.
Alright, next up.
Questionnaire, didn't leave a name. Wow, this person nails it though, because he says, thank you for doing the awesome show and have a great March. He sent this in January 18th.
Yeah, that is pretty great.
That is great. Hello, Nick Y. Roller of Rhymes, Freeman, and Chris... Dole R T? Oh, dollar. It's one word, so that's what confused me. Dollar T. Larios. I wanted to ask you your opinions on the abilities, weapons of different manga series, Dance of JoJo, Devil Fruits from One Piece, etc., etc. Just based off the nature of said abilities and weapons, not the application of abilities and weapons like the extremely creative Stands of Devil Fruits, but merely based on how they function and relate to the world, which do you think is the best design for a series? Internal power balancing and any other factors? So which... Basically, of the power source that focuses on most of the series we've read, which do we think are the most effective and interesting?
Well, I do have to point out that Devil Fruits is not a universal thing, like the way that, you know...
Chakras.
Almost everything else on that list is. Because Zanpakutos apply to, you know, all Soul Reapers. Triggers apply to everyone in World Trigger. Chakra applies to everyone in Naruto. Stands applies to, after a certain point, everyone in JoJo. So, I think I'm going to actually disqualify Devil Fruits from this.
Okay, you take them off the playing field.
Right, and I think from there, because I don't know enough about JoJo yet. Once we get to a certain point, maybe I'll end up changing my answer. I think that I would go with Triggers from World Trigger from that, because they have defined it really damn well, honestly, you know, in terms of, like, how they classify, you know, different types of weapons and how they work together and so on and so forth. There are, of course, the Black Triggers, but everything does still come from the same power source, and I like the way that it applies to not just, you know, their power source, but how, you know, their forms function in terms of, like, you know, they don't use their real bodies, they use Trion bodies, and, you know, they can be queued with, you know, Trion prisons and stuff. And, so I think that it works just, well, it just works all together.
No, I completely agree. I think triggers are probably the best for their world, because as you said, they're very defined. You can easily follow the logic. Someone's not better just because they're like, I have the better trigger. It's like, no, you know, they're all playing with essentially the equal amount of utility, but people are just better at strategizing, or their physical attributes are better, or, you know, they're using teamwork better, or things like that. And there's also a sense of growth that can happen because of the triggers. You can essentially introduce slowly and slowly more triggers. You still have black triggers for weapons you want to do absurd things and ridiculous things. But just a very easy to understand world. Like, if I were to, I picked One Piece to build a forum off of way back in the day, because it's one of the most interesting kind of worlds to play with, and there's a lot of variety in that. And if I were to make a different one, I'd go with World Trigger, because it's really easy to kind of balance and operate everything in there. A lot of the other series kind of just have different ways of being like, oh, this thing can do anything. Like, stands and then eventually become a little bit like that towards the end. Zanbakuto have real no basis for what they can or cannot do. Chakra, for a while, seemed to have rules, but eventually just became everybody had special unique jutsus that only they could do, or only their bloodline could do, or things like that. And those things are all fun and awesome in their own ways, but I really like how triggers work right now, and that it feels like almost everybody can do much of the same thing. And what makes battles and everything like that exciting is how they utilize it, rather than what they're utilizing.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one a lot. And it says, sort of a follow-up question for that, which is your favorite and which would you want to have personally? So if you could have anything like that, a stand, a chakra, Zanbakuto, which one would you want?
I like the sheer ridiculousness of stands.
Stands are the most versatile, too.
Mm-hmm. I think you could have the most fun with them.
Mm-hmm. If we can add Devil Fruits back into it, I might consider Devil Fruit, but the fact that I'd lose the ability to swim would be an issue. Because that basically removes having sex in a hot tub. And I guess, like, swimming in general. But, you don't want to
miss. It's only ocean water.
It's any kind of water, I think, actually does it.
Isn't it?
I'm trying to remember.
You could take a bath just fine.
Not always. I'm trying to remember the exact specification of it. I feel like there's some water still does it, because there's scenes where Luffy and them are like halfway submerged in water, like taking a bath, and they're like, oh, someone dragged me out of the water. And no, because, oh no, that fed from the ocean. Yeah, fuck it, I don't care. And that woman's like, don't you run a One Piece for him? I'm like, well, I forget a lot of things. And there's a second question here for me. Chris, I understand you dislike Flame of Recca, but I'm not sure if you've ever delved into exactly what about the series made you dislike it on the show. I just asked because one of the author's next series, Mar, was one of the first manga I read and was one I quite enjoyed. And I'm quite curious if the author had corrected some of their mistakes or whether what you disliked potentially still continued into it. So the main thing I disliked about Flame of Recca was that it was really, really boring and it had nothing but fights in it. And this was at a time when I loved fights. Like, that was the thing I got into manga for. I'm like, oh, these fights are so awesome, with these cool powers and awesome abilities, things like that. But that's all Mars was. Or not Mars, Flame of Recca was. Was just really annoying fights with really unsatisfying conclusions almost every time. And when I was starting, when I stopped reading into it, it was midway through an enormous tournament arc. And it was just one of those series that had, like, the five-man band kind of set up to it. We had your main character. He had his lancer, his ice guy to his fire guy. Then there was a big stupid guy with like rock-like powers. And then, of course, there was another character with wind powers who was a female character. And that female character was only involved in fights that involved opponents that were able to take her clothes off in some fashion or way. And it made me really annoyed. And I'm like, this is a cool character. All she does is have her clothes taken off. And it's really annoying. And I'm like, why do I care about this? So I really got annoyed with that. I read Mar. My friend Frank, who bought most of the manga, started buying Mar, so I read probably like 10 volumes of it. And that thing had the exact same fucking problem, that it was nothing but fights. the entire goddamn series is just like one long battle into one long battle with very little plot in between. So it's the same sort of thing. Now, I haven't read that series in, God, probably almost 10 years now, maybe even longer. So maybe I wouldn't have the same feeling now that I did then. But at the time, I mean, like, there's just nothing to this series. It's just a bunch of fights that aren't all that interesting in a world that doesn't have much going for it. So that's my two cents on it. But thank you for your question, sir. Or madame. I don't know. You didn't leave a name.
All right, next up. From Screwing On. Dear Rolo Rolo No T and Why Me Sad of Time. Got a couple of personal questions for the both of you. These are not personal questions. I guess best to individually answer what you mean. First, Nick, last Q&A you mentioned that one of, if not the best thing about the Bleach anime was its music. And I'm not sure if you listen to soundtracks of series, but in the small chance that you do, what was your favorite song in the Bleach anime? Not opening or ending song. Music that happened when stuff was happening in the anime itself, character themes, and all that jazz. Well, as it just so happens, I have a lot of Bleach soundtracks on my computer. Honestly, the first one is not my favorite. It's got a lot of like background music that I don't really care for. Especially with stuff that for like that's supposed to be for epic poems that I don't really care for. But Shiro Sugisu, the composer for the series, is really good at doing a couple of different things. One is atmosphere kind of stuff. Another is changing his style for like a motif of the series. For example, the first filler arc dealt with the Bound, which were vampire-like beings, so there's a lot of, you know, kind of Castlevania kind of sounding stuff. When they go to Hueco Mundo, there's a lot of Mexican, you know, Spanish guitars and all that kind of stuff. For like the different movies, he changed stuff up as well. I love a lot of the music in Bleach, though. On the Precipice of Defeat is a really cool sounding song. It's very relaxing, surprisingly enough. A lot of the comedic music I quite like. Number One is a really, really goddamn catchy song. It's a great guilty pleasure. And I really like a bunch of the alternate versions of it. Like the last one that they ended up doing before everything ended was Number One's One Else. That's a really cool sounding song. The one version of it I don't like at all is there's one where this asshole rapper just curses and swears over it through the whole thing and basically ruins it.
So, there you go. Yes. Nailed down the Bleach.
Renji's voice actor, they all did a bunch of there were a bunch of mini albums that the voice actors sang songs for. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. I think that Ichigo's voice actor is a very overrated singer.
Overrated.
Yeah, but Renji's voice actor would make a great heavy metal singer, I think. He did this awesome, goofy song called Standing to Defend You that I fucking love. It is so cheesy and awesome.
That's why I should have made my question for this year. I should have been like, Nick, Crush 40 Sonic songs, what say you?
I love Crush 40.
I fucking love those songs. If I could put them on my iPod and not feel ashamed, I would, like, if it ever came up, like, if I put my iPod into the car, like, let's play some songs on the radio, and it's, like, goes from Pretender, Foo Fighters, right into fucking, like, It Doesn't Matter from Sonic 2. It doesn't matter, now what happens? I'm like, guys.
That's not Crush 40, actually.
Well, it's Sonic the Hedgehog, I guess I should say. That is correct, not Crush 40, but Crush 40 and the Sonic the Hedgehog weirder songs.
Let me see. Beach Bee Collection, those are what they were called. Really didn't like Ichigo's. Love Renji's. Ishida's is okay. Ichimaru had a really good one. Surprisingly good, the one that was done by Hanataro and Kon. But they did a whole fucking ton of those. And some of them were good, and some of them I just have completely forgotten about. But yeah, that's my answer for Bleach. There is a question here for Chris, too. If you got a Tryon body, which was somehow not given to you by Border, and they don't care what you're doing with it, and will not confiscate it from you, what would you do?
So the idea being that I have a Tryon body, and I guess, like, if I need to use it, I return home and can reactivate it, or it's like a one-time use kind of thing? Because if it's a one-time use kind of thing, then, like, I don't know. I'll use it when I want to do something crazy, like, I'll go fucking hang gliding over the Himalayas or something like that. Right. It's like something where I'm like, I might not die, but there's a chance I will, so I'll use it here. But if I can, like, continuously reuse it, oh, fuck it, I'm becoming a superhero. Like, I'm just starting to fight crime. I'm like, hey, there's a bank robbery downtown. I'm like, I'm going to sucker punch this guy with a machine gun in the face. Like, bam! He's like, shoots me full of bullets and, like, come back. I'm like, hey, bitch, what's up? Round two, ding, ding.
Yeah,
that's essentially what I do. I don't know what else I don't know what other use there is for it, unless I'm like, I'm going to create my Tryon body and probably prop it up on strings so I can dance with myself.
Alright, let's move on then.
Yes, questions here from our fan in Finland. Oh, sir. Alright. Miko Kirsu... God, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Kirjokangas, I guess.
Kirjokangas. So Miko Kirsu Kirjokangas. Yeah, Kirsu. Hello, Chris, somebody to love, and Nick, never say die, Freeman. I like this. I just listened to your WMR 2015 podcast and wanted to congratulate you on another year. Well done. Thank you, sir. Seeing you make a great show every week without fail and plenty of good extra content now with the Patreon makes me happy to be a part of that. I've got a question for you here for a future show. I am thinking of doing another Let's Pick a Group of Manga Characters type question since those have been very good.
You're so lucky I read this ahead of time and prepared for it.
Here's one like that. Pick a group of manga characters to form a cast of an 80s TV sitcom. Let's use Married with Children as an example base for the show. So you need characters for the following archetypes. So he wants it to be like dad, mom, daughter, son, and then like superfluous kind of characters.
I don't... Other than The Cosby Show, I don't think I watched any... 80s sitcoms.
And now you can't even look back that with that one.
He may have sexually abused all of his female co-stars on that show.
Yeah.
So, instead, I went with a concept akin to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which was a sitcom I did watch a whole lot. I have basically the concept of, you know, a relative from a different upbringing comes to spend time with the rich family members. So, I have, as the head of the household and the Uncle Phil type of role, the Raku's father from Nisekoi, because we needed to have a rich father figure. And the only other one I could think of was Azami, and that would that wouldn't be especially good, I don't think.
Nah, probably not.
For the three siblings, I have Noelle from Black Clover.
Okay.
Alice from Shokugeki no Soma, and Sanji from One Piece.
Oh, he's got two cute girls as a sister. I'm worried about sisters. The incest in this.
No, he's just their sisters.
Okay, it's innocent. He has to almost like a play. Like normally Sanji's all about the girls, but now he has to be cap like brother cockblock. He has to keep all the other dudes who are trying to get at his hot sisters.
He's like, no, this is like a...
He's kicking people in the face.
I must have been a real lecher in another life.
This is so unfair. Why am I born with really hot sisters?
Then their visiting cousin is Bakugo from My Hero Academy. Because Bakugo being angry at things is really funny.
Okay. I'm kind of cheating with this because I'm not playing into the family dynamic. But to that I will say, not all 80s sitcoms had the family dynamic going for them.
Some of them were the Golden Girls.
Some of them were the Golden Girls, or I was even thinking more like Perfect Strangers. Rise and fall. So we actually brought this up a couple weeks ago in the podcast. I feel it would be really hilarious to have Raizo from One Piece and Cat Viper from One Piece move to America to start up a new Japanese food company where their next-door neighbor, and these are the new elements I'm adding, is Oscar Knock LeVar, who is their very flamboyant roommate, or not roommate, but across the road roommate, trying to get into theater. And, of course, their landlord is Moosey, who bangs on their doors all the time asking for the money. And by bangs on the doors, I mean he just pounds it down with his face.
Just headbutts it down and goes, and they're like, what's that? Well, yeah, we'll get the rent to you later.
And then every episode ends with them all eating dinner together at a table. And we just take the theme song from Perfect Strangers. Every episode just ends with them at a table eating Rise and Fall. So I hope you had some fun with this. Well, thank you very much, Kiritsu. We did.
All right. Next up.
From Cheers 2 was a different one,
yeah. Yes, from Supernova RX again. Hello, Nickelodeon and Tootsie Rollo. Fuck off. Questions. 1. What would you name your Zanpakuto if you had one? Also, don't criticize me if I spell things wrong, because I know I am. For me, I would name mine Sengoku Ryu. We've done this question before. You submitted this question twice.
Did we name our Zanpakuto?
I don't know, but I distinctly remember reading this before. We definitely covered this question before.
Did someone ask us what we'd want our Zanpakuto to do, like our Shikai?
Well, Supernova definitely actually submitted this before, because I remember Sengoku Ryu coming up.
Okay.
Huh. Hmm. Second, how long do you think you would last in both SPD and in Border?
SPD, I'm assuming he means Space Patrol Delta from Power Rangers. I think morally I can hang with them. But I do not possess the physical abilities or any knowledge of any martial arts whatsoever. So I would most likely be, like, their wacky inventor friend. Like, they had one that season. Who gets to become, like, a Power Ranger for a day? That would be me. I wouldn't get to be on the team. With World Trigger, they're like, hey, Grandpa, why don't you get over there and start buying us drinks? Because in the World Trigger universe,
like teenagers.
I'm ancient. Yeah, like, they treat a zombie like he's a fucking ancient asshole, and he's, like, 22. He's, like, in college still, so I would definitely not be... Presumably I would have to be, I guess, like, maybe a super old operator if I had any talent whatsoever, because there is that one male operator who seems to be pretty old. But other than that, it's like, I guess you're... a general or nothing.
Yeah, a former soldier or something along those
lines. Yeah, maybe I'm an engineer. Maybe that's it. They do have engineers, so maybe that's where I'd end up.
Well, another thing that I want to make note of with Border is we'd never really see anyone get rejected or kicked out of Border. It seems like they need all the help they can get, but it's a matter of achievement base in terms of ranking, but, you know, I feel like we would last a really long time, but we probably wouldn't progress very far up from the lower ranks. Or we would be relegated to something like, you know, some sort of maintenance, like, you know, the guy who, you know, has to just look after Andadora and stuff, as opposed to you are going to be one of our elite soldiers going.
Yeah, that is true. There's that guy, the guy who just watches movies all the time. I could definitely do that.
I mean, you're gonna have you know, people do regular staff stuff.
Oh God, I just become fucking administrative help in Border as well. I'm like, oh God, this is what I've become. I wasted that Mitt Romney genie wish. I had to eat so many pugs to get that.
We're just custodians. We wander the halls with our trigger mops.
Cleans up the triggers, but didn't clean up any dirt.
And third, if you could have a mystical power from Yu-Gi-Oh, what would it be? From Yu-Gi-Oh.
I only know the Millennial items, so I'm restricted entirely to that, and most of them sucked, so I guess I'd either take the puzzle... I'll take the puzzle so I can have a friend.
Well, Chris, would you like the one that has you be possessed by an evil spirit but lets you control minds, or the one that just has you be possessed by an evil spirit?
I think I'd take the Millennium puzzle so I can have, like, a friend always. Other than that, I guess...
We must win this duel.
I'm like, well... you know, yeah, I'm like, I'm not really into Yu-Gi-Oh! So much anymore, but maybe there's an ancient evil attached to Hearthstone that I can help you take down, and you can help me cheat in that. He's like, that's not what the Heart of the Cards is about. I'm like, I don't know about that, buddy.
Well, can I mind crush them afterwards?
Yeah, sure, do whatever you want. Less people on the ladder for me to have to face again.
All right.
I'm like, it's either that or the eye, just to cheat. Outside of that, the rest of them suck. It's like, you can see into the past. Like, I don't want this at all.
You can see into the future. Well, Millennium Key did allow...
Unlocked people's hearts, wasn't it?
It let him wander through their minds.
That's lame. I'd rather just see into their mind and cheat.
Millennium Eye would probably be the best one.
The only issue with that is that you lose your eye for it. So I'd have to grow up bangs or something. Or I guess wear an eye patch.
Or just rock it.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, why do you have a steel eye, a golden eyeball? I'm like, because I do dope shit, that's why.
My life is dope and I do dope things.
I fucking love that.
Oh, God. I think they would probably be the Millennium Eye for me.
Well, there are other mystical cool things.
Powers you could have. But honestly, like, the Crimson Dragon that comes along with, like, you know, you must fulfill the destiny to protect the world and stuff. Like, I don't want to have to deal with that shit. It, you know, and honestly, that's basically it. It's just, like, you get to have super awesome summoning cool dragon powers, and that's really it. Like, if you're in danger, the actual dragon will show up. But they never did anything except for, we'll help you out now that you're in mortal danger.
What's up, bud?
Judai's ability to just create wherever the fuck, that'd be pretty cool. Astral was kind of lame, so...
What's the new guy do?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of Arc 5 that I haven't watched yet, and another part of it is the fact that he seems to be connected with his alternate selves. He sort of seems to absorb them, maybe? I'm not sure. There's a lot of stuff that... I'm at a point where there's a lot of stuff still to be explained, basically.
I gotcha.
I gotta get back. I've got, like, a year to catch up on, I think.
I gotcha. We'll move on to our next question here, then. From No Name here. Fusion! Ha! YT Rolo of Time. If you could have a portal to any manga world, which would you choose and why? I would pick the food world, the Food Wars world, so I could just go there, get super awesome food, and then come back to my world, and then just smoke and fucking play video games and watch TV. The other worlds would be super exciting, but, like, I'm gonna want to live there, probably, or, like, I don't know, like, they're gonna be too dangerous to occasionally
visit. Is it a two-way portal? Is it something that only we would have access to?
That's another day. Because here's the thing. I'm not worried about a villain from the Food Wars world coming over and conquering my life. I am terrified of Aizen being like, ooh, what's going on over here?
Yeah, if a zombie came over to our world, it'd just be like, eh, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And he's going to rule the culinary world. Okay.
Yeah, sweet, whatever. He's like, I'm closing down all McDonald's. I'm like, doesn't really affect me anymore. Five years ago, I would have considered you Satan. But now, whatever. Although he probably loved McDonald's, because that's what his ultimate goal is, to make every food kind of uniform. He's just everything is gourmet McDonald's.
Yeah,
so it's like gourmet McDonald's, it's super expensive.
I mean, there are certain things to consider here. What if Blackbeard comes over to our world and just absorbs everyone's powers, you know? I don't know about that.
Does anyone here have powers? Yeah, shut up. The Secret Society
is listening.
Because
having a superpower pirate who doesn't absorb other people's powers would be so much better, Chris.
Yeah, I'm like, he can't just make a black pole that sucks up a talent and then throws it at you. We've seen him do it. Like, oh, right. That's bad.
If it's a one-way portal, first up, we would be trapped there. So it would have to be something like Nisekoi.
Yeah, a world where I'm like, I'll just casually work my way into society here.
Right. If it's a two-way portal that only we have access to, then, yeah, it would be cool to go somewhere, like... Two-way portal that only we have access to is a bit more difficult, but, yeah, two-way portal that, like, the characters have access to. Let's be realistic here in terms of what we're going to allow into the Earth in order to cause chaos. In terms of world we're actually interested in visiting...
I still say world, or Food Wars, because the other worlds... unless I'm going on, like, maybe, because I don't think spectators can't watch Rank Wars, so it's not like World Trigger has that much interest to me. I have no try-on, presumably, so going on a mission with them, I'm just going to get killed. Right. There's nothing saying if I go to the One Piece world, I'm going to get to go on adventures with them. So again, I'm just kind of hanging around on an island being like, oh, so this is what it's like to not be a pirate. This sucks. Bleach, fuck that world. I don't want any part of that. Toriko, I guess. You get good food.
I think the world of Naruto would be cool to visit.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's that weird mix of old and new.
Mm-hmm. I can go with that. Yu-Gi-Oh! Might be a fun world to visit, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like a manga we generally read, but just going into a world where it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, card games are the most awesome shit in the world. And like, yeah, Hearthstone? They're like, no, Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm like, damn it! Duel Monsters, fuck!
And I'd be like, man, you guys' decks suck.
I'm like, oh yeah, this insect deck's really gonna give me problems, Weevil Underwood.
Oh no, you put battle laser armor on it.
Just like you, like,
700 laugh. Points higher, oh no.
A fortress rail, is that? Oh, Mako, you're so strong.
Well, what the fuck are you trying to do? What do you mean that your monsters are hidden in the darkness? Fuck off!
That's bullshit, fuck you, Pain. Panic, that's right, Panic. That was close. Pain and Panic were Hades' demons. Yeah. I think that's what I got mixed up on.
Next question.
Yes. That was a good one.
Is it my turn or yours?
It's yours.
Okay. Hey, Chris and Nick. Love your work and keep doing your amazing jobs.
Well, we'd love to, but you need to send emails into the board of chairmen to make sure that we keep it. Those don't actually exist.
My question is, if you guys ever became NFL football players, what positions would you guys play? Which teams would you guys like or not like to be drafted by? And what would you say after you guys won the Super Bowl?
There's some high optimism in that, yeah. For that third question.
First of all, punter.
Yeah, punter's a good position to play, honestly, because you're not going to get hurt very often. You don't have that much to do.
You don't have a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
Because kicker is like, you know, it seems great until, you know...
Until you miss a kick.
On the line, you better not fucking miss this or you're fired, asshole.
Yeah, and punters always seem to be the coolest people on teams. Like, you know, because that's where you're going to find the most regular person. It was Chris Cluey, the punter for the Vikings for a while, was well known for being like a tabletop fan. He listened to podcasts. You know, he joked around and played Guitar Hero when he didn't have to kick anymore and the rest of his team was out there practicing. That'd be kind of fun. But if you were to say, like, you have to play, like, a non-special teams position, I don't have the body type to play any role outside of being a small slot receiver where, like, being under 6 foot or at 6 foot is acceptable.
Right.
If you said, hey... You get whatever physique you want and can then play whatever you want, I'd want to be defensive end. Because that's where I see the most fun in football, is being the guy coming off the edge, going after the quarterback. Like, when I play Madden, that's the only position I'll play, is defensive line or defensive tackle. But if you go just by my sheer body size and type that I have right now, all I could play is slot receiver, and I would not be very good at it.
Yeah, I would, going again with that, you get any physique you want... I would actually probably be cool with doing a cornerback.
Cornerback, really?
I've always thought it was a really cool position.
Bless you.
And also, side bonus, it's one of the few positions on the field, aside from, you know, kicking, that you don't have to worry about head injury. So, yeah.
That is true. If we got drafted, the only team I'd want to go to, the Giants or the Bucks, probably. Those are like probably my two closest teams. Trying to think if I have like another team that I'm forgetting that I really like. I guess it would be those two. Outside teams I wouldn't want to. I'd hate to be drafted by Philly. I might pull an Eli Manning, which is great because they're like, you're not that good. Eli Manning wasn't that good to be doing what you're doing, and you're still trying to do it. But other than that, I just wouldn't want to be drafted anywhere up north. I'd hate to have to play 8 games a year in fucking freezing cold temperature, practicing that. Like, if it's anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon line, I'd be pretty ecstatic.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same board as you. a lot of our team preferences line up anyway. Mm-hmm. If I end up having to play for the Eagles, I would just be like, oh no, the receiver got past me.
You're like, oh god, you got me again. You'd be Namdi Asamoah, basically. You're like, oh no, now I'm going to eat Dijon mustard in my car alone. I fucking love that. That was my favorite year of football for a while. Just the dream team crumbling to pieces, the stories of their star shutdown quarterback eating Dijon mustard alone in his car. Like, oh, thank God.
And as for what would you guys say after you won the Super Bowl, gotta go home and play video games.
They're like, what? They're like, oh, well, all right, next person. And I'm just like, yada yada does it. Like, oh, you're actively an idiot, no nerd.
Oh my god, can you imagine if you like had that opportunity to just be like, go read Eyeshield 21.
Well, that was a JoJo.
I know, but like,
oh yeah, oh, that's my moment. I'm like, everybody read World Trigger. I'm like nervous. I'm like, everybody buy volumes of Cross Manage, they might bring it back. No, that'd be like my coolest thing I could think
prompting thousands of NFL fans around the world to go, what the fuck is this weeaboo bullshit?
To be like, lacrosse still blows, and throw the volumes away. Somehow this is bankrupted Shonen Jump. I'm like, oh no! Alright. Next question here from Jackson. Dear Nick, Wasabi Ginger Y Ruler of Time, and Chris, grilled cheese and ketchup roll OT. He says these nicknames are both flavors of Lay potato chips, and I feel I got the short end of the stick, even though I would never eat wasabi ginger. That sounds like a flavor. What the fuck is grilled cheese and ketchup?
At least I got a Marvel hero as my name.
Is wasabi ginger a character?
Wasabi no ginger is a member of Big Hero 6.
Oh, that's right. But what the fuck's grilled cheese and ketchup? Who eats ketchup with grilled cheese?
There are people who do it. It's like,
I mean, I've heard tomato soup.
It's like the people who eat macaroni and cheese with ketchup. It's like,
I understand tomato soup and grilled cheese. That's delicious. Ketchup and grilled cheese. I'm like, this is just weird. Anyway, as hosts of a wrestling podcast that occasionally talks about manga, I thought you'd both be equipped to answer this question. I notice a large cross section of anime and manga fans who also happen to be wrestling fans. Why do you think that is?
Because they're both nerdy.
Does wrestling lend itself well to those with nerdy interests? I'm writing this as of the Royal Rumble that has monopolized my Twitter feed.
Yes, it's just a matter of like a lot of nerds watch wrestling now.
It's also a fact that both of these kind of genres have very similar strengths to them. There are a lot of kind of appealing to that young male, exciting, look at these big kind of larger-than-life characters fighting each other. And it kind of hits along the same sort of thing. And you can discuss them in a lot of the same ways. Like, there's a reason why we often go to wrestling to make analogies for things that have happened in manga. It's because they follow a lot of the exact same rules. Like, when we describe why Leashed isn't working, we can use that exact same thing to explain why a heel villain they just recently introduced isn't working in WWE. Like, well, you've taken the threat out of him, there's nothing exciting about it. They work on the same fundamentals. And you can expand those same thoughts to apply to all of fiction, but they're really easily explained in between, like in comparison with wrestling and manga, you know, slash anime.
If it's two things that are meant to appeal to the same demographic, then yeah, you'll see some tonal similarities as well, basically.
Mm-hmm. All right. And yes, that is all of his questions, so thank you, Jackson.
Next up from Thorsten. Is Thorsten?
Just go with Thorsten. I totally bought into it, Nick. I was like, you got it!
Two questions. We are between New Year and Valentine's Day.
Yes, we are.
So I want to know, what are your favorite holiday or festival chapters or arcs in manga? I like, actually, Obon Festival things in manga. I like seeing, you know, the way the characters dress up in kimonos and stuff, and you know, going to the festivals and playing the games and so on and so forth. I like just, I don't know, there's something kind of heartwarming about seeing characters going somewhere to have a good time together, spending time together with their friends.
And it's kind of nice seeing something traditionally Japanese in these series. Because a lot of times it's kind of easy to forget that this is Japan. Like, you're like, unless there's like a 16-year-old girl with giant tits getting naked, I don't know, I know it's from Japan. But it is nice to occasionally be like, oh, and like anything Japanese we watch that has any kind of basis in a realistic world of any kind, there's usually an Obon Festival arc. Like, I remember that in Pokemon, they had an Obon Festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of cool to see. It gives you a little bit of culture, too. You learn a little bit about that. I always kind of like Valentine's Day, and I think it's White Day is what they call the day right. A month later. I kind of like that just because it teaches you a lot more about the world and the culture in a way. So it's just kind of unique to see that.
Whereas if you go, like, what is something traditional in America?
St. Patrick's Day, I think.
Drinking?
Yeah, I'm like, another day we dedicated to drinking now?
Setting off fireworks and dancing around in red, white, and blue and eating apple pie.
And drinking.
And, well, let's see.
Do we have a Thanksgiving?
If we go back far enough in our history in order to acknowledge that part of our culture, then you get slavery. So,
yeah.
Let's not do that, and instead look at this other culture.
I like that stuff. I also like, I guess festival doesn't count. I do like sporting festivals, though. Like, especially if it's a school series when they have the sports festival. Because that was always fun for me when I was in grade school. Because there was usually at least one or two events I was decent at, too. And I always kind of liked getting to see that moment. I'm like, I'm not completely worthless at physical activities. I can do this.
Yep.
So, there we go. All
right, second question. With the Olympic Games, the Football European Championship happening this summer, can we maybe see some more sports manga this summer?
Hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that'd be good for it. I'm super pumped for the Olympics, actually. I'm a huge fan of the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics. So I'll definitely be all aboard get involved for that.
All right. Next up, next email?
Yes. Question here. Don't have a name here. Kenny, Nick, and Chris, long-time listener, first-time question haverer. If you could ask the writers and artists of Shonen Jump any question, but it can't be manga-related, what would it be?
It's a very interesting question.
I'm assuming that I can't just be like, would you like to come on our podcast where I can't ask you manga questions? It's not allowed. If I can't, I would want to ask a lot of them. One, I think I'd ask them how they got here. Like, what was it that got you to this point where you decided to make this your career? Like, essentially, like, have almost a podcast interview with them that doesn't talk about where the work they do now, but like how they got here. What were their influences going up? What did they think they were going to do when they grew up? Things like that. And if I had to just ask one kind of question, I guess maybe I'd ask, like, if you weren't writing or drawing manga, what would you want to be doing? Because I feel like you could find out a lot about someone with, like, seeing what they do now and being like, if you had the choice to do something different, though, what would you want to do?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I like that. I don't know what I would ask them, honestly. I stirred this over in my head a while, and I was like, I don't so, I'm sorry, I really don't have an answer.
All right. Well, still a very interesting question there. So, thank you very much for sending it in, our first time question haverer.
Yeah. All right. Get back to the list of questions, goddammit. There we go. From Andy the Card Man. Hello, Dr. Nick Har the Cards Freeman and Sir Chris Magic Eyeballs Larios.
I got Sir, awesome. Long oh, wait, you're a doctor. That's bullshit. I want to be a doctor.
Long-time fan. You guys always crack me up, but here are my questions. If the cast of Bleach, and to make this question shorter, I'll cut it down to Ichigo and his friends, were to direct a movie, what type of movie would it be? That is a weird question, but I think I actually know how it would go.
I'm so intrigued by this question. Because it's not what would a movie about them individually be. It's not how would a movie, like, with them in go. It's what they would do if they made a movie. Right.
And I'm pretty sure that Ichigo would care so little, and Chad and Orihime would just go with the flow, that it would come down to Ishida to decide everything.
Oh, and so it's like a compelling biopic about the Quincy massacre. Well,
no, because he's, like, the super artistic guy. He does all the sewing right. stuff. So he would probably have this unique artistic vision and would probably progressively annoy everyone over the course of trying to make it.
He just makes the Danish girl with himself as the Eddie Van main role, quivering as he puts fucking dresses against his chest, like, ooh.
And occasionally, like, you have, you know, you have, like, Orihime, like, unconvincingly saying lines, and Ichigo just kind of, like, being there, looking like he doesn't want to be there.
Somehow, they forced this character that doesn't speak, it's just tall and giant, to be Chad. Like, we had to get him in somewhere, but he's not good at talking. He refuses to cut his hair to show his eyes.
The other option would be for Rukia to control everything, because she does her awful cartoon noodles, and she would probably want to do this very heartwarming tale about, like, anthropomorphic animals and stuff. So
I could see that.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Alright.
For Chris, did you ever watch Ultimate Muscle during the 2000s on the Fox Box?
No, I did not. I will be completely honest. I was slightly into wrestling around the time it was on, but I never had an interest in watching. I was not a Fox kid at all. I watched Digimon, and I think that's the only thing I ever watched on Fox. I didn't watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I didn't watch Power Rangers. Didn't watch Shaman King. My friend Frank used to talk to me about, like, which he used to compare which Saturday morning cartoon block was better based on the time slot. So he'd go through between that and Kids WB, and I'd be like, you can do this all day. I don't watch anything on fucking the Fox Box. I only watch the CW one. Or not CW, but WB one.
WB was on Sunday for a while. So I would watch both.
Oh, I don't remember it ever being on Sunday. I mean, I may have stopped watching.
I think
watching
that they'd eventually move, and I think that when they did, I would have switched to a Kids WB, but eventually because that was the one that had Yu-Gi-Oh, so of course I wouldn't watch that.
Because my thing was, The first hour, like, I think used to be the block would be from, like, 8 o'clock to noon, what used to be, like, the Sunday or the Saturday morning kid cartoon block. 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. usually sucked. It was usually, like, comedy cartoons, like, fucking the Coconut Bunch or some bullshit that I never watched. Then around 9 o'clock would be when you started getting into more of the cooler stuff. I think that's maybe when Jackie Chan Adventures used to be on, things like that. Then you got your Pokemon. You'd get eventually into Yu-Gi-Oh! Cubix, I think, may have been also in that 9 o'clock spot. I hated Cubix. But generally speaking, I liked more of the shows on the Kids WB, so I just predominantly watched only that. So
Kids WB also had the more clever inter-show stuff going
on. Oh, yeah. That was almost the show itself.
We had a real long conversation about that on a previous episode, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Where they did, like, the Pokemon tournament.
So I watched, I think, an episode of Ultimate Muscle, but I was like, this isn't cool because it's goofy, but not, like, a cool kind of goofy. Like, it was like, this is just silly. Like, if I watched wrestling with my brother, but I was like, if I was watching this and he came into the room, he'd make fun of me for it. So I didn't watch it, basically. Wow. I was really, there's a lot of guilt in me, Nick. I really wanted to impress people. Yeah, good old, I had no friends in my first 4 years of school guilt. I'm like, please like me.
And the last question is for me. If you were the protagonist of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Style manga, what would your archetype be? Dark Scorpions.
Oh, you get to pick your own fucking theme? This is bullshit. I want to pick my theme. I'm the direct damage guy. And my whole thing is I just...
That's not an archetype.
Well, it's my theme in my deck now, though, right? Alright, fine. Okay. I want to be the Sea Serpent guy.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, cool. So I just make a bunch of sea serpent puns, which is really hard because there aren't a lot of them. It's a lot of, like, quit Leviathan around and play your turn already. Like, that was such a stretch. And I'm like, don't you mean a Leviathan stretch? Fuck you when I throw things at them.
Don't tell me what I can and Koala can't do.
Oh, you nailed that one, though. Oh, you got that. All right. Next question here. I don't see a name here. By the way, we read the names, essentially, if you put the name in the body of the email. I know some people, their name will appear at the top, but I try not to read those because I've realized now that that's just automatically done with Yahoo, and they may not want us to read their names. So if you want us to read the names, just put, like, whatever name you want at the bottom of the email somewhere. This is for T-Ruler Space and Follow T. I have a long question for you. The two of you now have superpowers from any manga and have to fight a manga villain. What would the fight look like? What superpower would you have, and how would you fight? Would you fight together using combo attacks, or would you fight separately? What's the meaning of this fight? Essentially going on, what would the scale of this battle be? You can create any kind of battle in a manga. How would it go?
Yeah, that's essentially what it comes down to, isn't it? It's just like you're going to do a manga fight scene with yourself as the protagonist.
So you can pick your powers, you can pick who's involved, you can pick the scale, you can pick the reasoning for it. You can pick everything. How would you do it?
I feel like we would win with a combination attack of some sort, but it would not be like, we would not be the type of combatants to have to work together. We would just, you know, kind of have our own sets of abilities and then end up working together and then come together.
Oh, almost like a Zoro and Sanji kind of thing. Like, maybe we're not working together at first, but then, like, Nick, we gotta do this. And, like, we fist bump or something, and that's when we use our powers in tandem and just kick shit.
Right. Or, you know, along the lines of, like, you know, how Naruto and Sasuke would fight together. I'm not sure what our specific power types would be, but that is essentially how it would go down. And I think that if we were going to do it, it wouldn't be, you know, city-destroying battle, as you put it. It would be along the lines of maybe early Naruto, because that's the kind of stuff that I kind of prefer.
Yeah, I prefer. You can make anything exciting if you add huge stakes to it, but because you can do that with anything, it doesn't always feel very special. I find it a lot more enjoyable if you can turn a small stake encounter into something incredible.
Or alternately, we would just have a tag team duel.
So. Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet, too.
And he'd be like, Nick, what is these cards?
I'm like, what do all these do? You're like, just play them. You can read. You're not an idiot.
Look, Chris, just set your goddamn pendulum scale. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm like, Nick, what are these? They're sea serpents. All five sea serpent puns are lost. I throw out one sheet of paper. I spent all night writing these four puns.
Why aren't you building your deck instead? It looks like you just took one of the ocean-themed structure decks.
I copied whatever the first dude from the virtual reality art, the guy who had Deep Sea Master as his deck guy.
You can't use deck masters as his tool, Chris. That guy's deck sucked otherwise.
I'm like, uh-oh. I'll start by playing a field card.
Actually, field cards can't.
Oh, okay, I'm like, Nick, where's my fusion deck go? I've got two polymerizations.
That's okay.
Am I naming stuff that actually works in Yu-Gi-Oh still?
There are better fusion cards now.
Okay, cool.
My turn to read.
Yes.
Diego from Chile here. Long-time listener, first-time questioner with two simple questions. One. If you were to put all the villains of Shonen Jump into a coliseum on a Hunger Games / Battle to the Death scenario, how long do you think a zombie would last? Since he doesn't have any superpowers, it is easy to assume he would go out first, but he looks like the type of dude that could easily slit someone's throat before he goes out. What a pleasant image. Well, you said all of the villains of Shonen Jump is the problem.
So it's literally like a fucking room crammed full of like people with crazy powers and bullshit?
So I think he would last even less time than you're imagining, unless you put all the people of a certain power scale on one side of the island or wherever they're fighting on, and all the non-power people on the other. He would, I'm sure, be vicious and cruel, but you put him together with all the evil ninja and soul reapers and Espada and all that shit, he's probably going to die real fast.
Yeah, I feel like if you put all of them in a room, essentially what's going to happen is the top tier guys are all going to do a big attack and just leave it so all the smaller guys are wiped out and it's just the biggest players.
Right. And when you consider the fact that just being in the presence of someone with strong haki or with high spirit pressure or various other things causes people surrounding them to just collapse and die.
They don't die.
Really fast. Yeah.
They don't die, but yeah, knock them out.
Second question. You two are teaming up in a Shokugeki against Izami. What do you do? My strategy would be this. Me, my dish is ready. Izami, that's just a pot of boiling water. Me, you are correct. Throws boiling water at Izami's face, runs away making Zoidberg noises.
Well, you've lost the Shokugeki. I'm telling you that. You didn't win.
We'd have to be like those two guys in and Bambino who were just like, we are very obviously cheating.
Yeah, like, that's my thing, is because it says you two are teaming up. So I like to think me and Nick are a combo team, and he doesn't have anyone, like, really watching over it. So I kind of wait until, like, the last few minutes. I'd be like, all right, Nick, make a scene or something like that. And then, like, while that's happening, I just take a dump on a zombie's place. I just, like, just immediately, or just, like, slam my face into it, like, and then try to, like, get away that way. They're like, I noticed the zombie's faces, plates have all been smashed, and your face is covered in fucking tartar, steak tartar. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. Anyway,
it pretty, burns my eyes.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though, if I was judging.
Here's our peanut butter sandwich. You were supposed to use steak halibut.
I'm like, yeah, well, I put some raw steak on the side as decoration. Anyway, the steak tartare in my face is really good. If I was to judge between them, I'd pick it. I'm just saying. Sorry, Nick. It's really good. Try some on my face.
I'm not going to lick your face. Come on, Nick. Come on.
The fan fictions, though. Alright, is my question?
Yes.
Alright. Hey, Chris and Nick, it's me, Loom Ranmayasha from the chat. I just want to say I thought they were at a great 2015. I'm excited to see what's in store for this year, especially the JoJo's and Pokemon Adventure reviews. I want to recommend a Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods for movie commentary. Alright, awesome. Five questions here. He's going to make up for missed Q&As of five questions. Recently, I started my own manga podcast with a friend. This made me wonder how you guys first got into podcasting, how we met, and how WMR came to me. Basically, what is WMR's origin story?
WMR's origin story, technically speaking, is not being a podcast, but Chris just sitting down and talking about manga.
Yeah, this originally the name Weekly Manga Recap came from a short-lived video review series I did back when I was trying to get into making videos, and it was me at my fattest in shirts that don't fit in a room with really shitty lighting talking about manga and doing a couple, not recommendations, but I know I read Full Metal Alchemist while I was doing that series and talked about it, but then I'd also talk about the manga that week, make a couple jokes, things like that, and then put them up there. And eventually I stopped doing that. And what essentially came from that then is me and Nick already kind of did Weekly Manga Recap. We just didn't ever record it. We just talk about manga for like an hour on end with one another. And we're like, why don't we just do a podcast with this? So we were on Lord Cat Stream at the time when every interest that was possibly there was getting a show for it. Mm-hmm. So we did Weekly Manga Recap. And we just used the name because I was like, Weekly Manga Recap was what I already called my thing from before. WMR sounds like a really good acronym and just kind of fit. And that's more or less it.
I mean, if you want to know like how we met, Chris was doing Transmission Awesome already. I ended up starting to do a video series and I was listening to Transmission Awesome and I thought it was really cool. And through that, I learned that Chris was really into manga. So I basically just sent it to him and said, hey, you know, here's like, you know, kind of an idea for maybe doing one of your awesome blogs of the week, and he featured it twice, and that was eventually I reached out to him on Skype and we started talking. We got along great pretty much from the get-go, and we have been friends ever since.
Yeah, it helps that we have almost every major interest between us is shared at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up with a lot of the same media, we both have a lot of the same interests and things like that, so
yeah,
that's basically, and then you were also actually, you were co-host on Transmission Awesome for a while, too.
For a little while, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was actually a pretty substantial amount of time, I thought. I guess it actually wasn't that long. I think I'm thinking of Joe.
I think we might have gotten around 10 episodes-ish.
Okay, never mind. I was
a special guest host a couple of times.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking, because I remember, I guess the longest group was myself, Sean, Joe and Paul. Mm-hmm. Angry Joe and Paul Dugan.
That was like the dream team.
Yeah. The dream team. No, it was a lot of fun.
That's the stretch that I remember as being like the best, some of the best stuff you guys
did. Yeah, like if you were talking classic Transmission Awesome, those would be the episodes.
Joe brought a lot of energy to that show.
And you had Paul being sardonic and super witty, sarcastic.
It was a great balance between all four hosts.
Honestly. Yeah. It was the only time I think too I would ever say a show worked best with more than three people on it. Because usually when you get more than four people consistently on a show, you talk over yourselves or it's too many people. But that was one time I was like, that was really like the right number of people.
Second question.
Oh, right. Number five. Akira Toriyama originally wanted Dragon Ball to last a year, but because of its popularity, it ended lasting 10 years. All the way, he tried to end the series at the end of basically every arc. Do you think Dragon Ball should have ended earlier than it did? Do you think it would still be remembered as a classic and be popular internationally if it had, say, ended at the end of the Emperor Pilaf arc, as Toriyama originally planned? Personally, I can't imagine the series playing out any other way, but I do think there is something to be said about how the 23rd Martial Arts Tournament arc cleanly wrapped up every story and character arc to that point, making for a perfectly satisfying ending if the series had really concluded at that point in time.
I think that it's clear that the Buu saga was definitely the breaking point, because it seemed as though Toriyama had really tried to take a step forward and move the story beyond Goku, and then ended up having to make it about Goku anyway.
Mm-hmm. But, Gohan got to be the hero of the last arc at the very end. The new arc started with Gohan, and by the end of it, Gohan had been kind of defeated and wasn't an element in the final fight at all.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like probably it should have just ended at the Frieza saga. I think that the Cell saga was good enough that you could have kept on going until there, but then the Buu saga was just like, it probably should not have happened. We did get some good things out of it. I like Videl as a character. I like the whole saga with Hercule / Mr. Satan and how he plays into redeeming the original Majin Buu. But overall, I think that the bad probably outweighs the good in terms of like the general structure of, and Goku is the hero again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my standing on that.
I'm not the best to answer this question because I've never read Dragon Ball and I only watched Dragon Ball starting with the Cell arc. So I'm like, the Cell arc was great. You definitely want to go up through that. But now I can definitely see why people think it could have ended earlier. I've heard conflicting remarks, though, on if that's true, that Toriyama wanted to end it with every arc. It definitely seems like it, but I feel like I've heard some people say that's just a rumor.
It definitely did get to the point, because, I mean, he has flat-out said certain things did not go the way he expected them to. For example, he did not understand why Vegeta was so popular.
Yeah. Well, that happens with so many things, too. Like, almost every series has a character, you're like, how did this thing get to be so absurdly popular? I didn't plan anything for this. But that's part of the element of just creating series and things like that. Eventually, characters you didn't expect kind of just take off in a way you didn't imagine. And sometimes that could be really awesome.
Mm.
Third question here. Recently, there's been a trend of older manga being dug up to be adapted into a new anime, such as JoJo's, Parasite, Ushio and Tora, now potentially Akira as well. Are any classic, currently unadapted or not fully adapted manga series that you would like to be like see made into a new anime series?
I would like to see Asha 21 be made into a good anime series.
I honestly can't think. I don't know if this counts. I'd love to see 20th Century Boys get an anime, but it's I feel like that'd be kind of hard to do without the rights to music. Because that's such a huge part of that series. Like, if you can't even get the rights to 20th Century Boy, the song, it would be tough. But, I mean, like, Bob Dylan, Rolling Stones, like, those songs need to be in that series somewhere. So if you can't get them, you just wouldn't want to do it. But if, you know, pure imagination, I can do whatever. I think a 20th Century Boys anime would be really fun. I think people would really get into that today's day and age, too.
And I'm not sure about this question myself, aside from just saying, like, the Aisha 21 anime sucked, I need a better one, or, you know. I don't really have anything else to say on that.
Question four. There have been a lot of series in Jump that seem to be heading towards their conclusions. Assassination Classroom, in particular, is currently at its final battle, and is likely to conclude in a couple of months. We should actually note that as of the time of recording this, I think it is just about ended. This might be the final chapter coming up this week or next week.
There is this week's chapter, and then there's one more after that.
Okay, so 2 weeks left. What consequences do you think this will have for Jump, both in Japan and here in the U.S.? Do you think Jump will be in a much weaker position than it is currently? Or do you think that stuff like My Hero Academia and Black Clover will be able to fill the void they leave behind in terms of readership and sales and support the strong magazine it is now?
I don't think it'll be too bad, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
it's only been running for less than 4 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's nearly as big a hole as you're making out to be.
It's also the fact that it's not as though it's been the only thing that's consistently done well. I mean, you mentioned in there that My Hero Academia, I mean, when the first few chapters of that came out, it was consistently ranking in the top five. My Hero Academia, we noted, Black Clover, we noted this past week, has been performing really well as well. There's still One Piece. You still have your classics like Toriko and Bleach. I think that they're doing really well. And since Assassination Classroom doesn't run in the U.S. Jump, it doesn't really change anything there. I mean, they're still just going to print the volumes of it, and people can buy it and enjoy it that way. So, I don't know if that really... I don't think the magazine in either country is going to be too ultimately affected by this.
Yeah.
And finally, on the subject of Assassination Classroom, would you ever be open to revisiting the series on WMR? We reviewed it back when it had only 40 or so chapters, and he also mentions Tokyo Ghoul and a lot of other series. I think there's a lot of content and story that you didn't get to touch upon both, and would make an interesting re-review of them worth doing.
Yeah, I mean, people have suggested we do revisits occasionally. I'm not opposed to the idea, so maybe we will someday.
It's a very real possibility. Sorry.
It's a very real possibility.
That was my trumpet going off.
Alright, next question comes from Sieg. Dear Nick, why me ruler? And Chris, rolling matters are told. Not sure if I've said this before, but a big thanks for the show. Been following you ever since the first episode went up on thatguywithglasses.com, and always look forward to when I can download the new episode, keep up the good work, making people laugh, and fighting the oppression of woodworkers. Thank you.
Someone has to.
Questions. Are there any manga you feel were made far worse by a single character, or even ruined by them? Were there a main protagonist you hated for whatever reason, a villain you felt held no threats or had idiotic plans, a side character who was there only for unfunny comic relief, or a female character who was there only for fan service? Well, there are plenty of individual characters who drag a series down. In terms of the fan service character, Chris, you occasionally bring up that one female teacher who is, like, constantly afraid she's going to get raped while she's taking her clothes off in air gear.
To be fair, she's a very, not minor, but a very, she's not used much in that series, so
but it's
they're certainly worse, yeah.
It's something that you've brought up multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, she's fucking horrendous. It's really, really horribly offensive.
What was his name? Lucius or Larry or I think it was an L name. It definitely wasn't Larry. Levi? I don't know. From Freezing, the weird incest.
Oh yeah, her brother. Yeah.
That knocked that down quite a bit, in terms of how he was treated. But in terms of characters that are pretty much the sole reason for or the sole knock against the series, I always go, you know, have in my back pocket, you know, I'm going to pull it out, Etchizen and Sasuke. Sasuke less so. Etchizen is basically the main reason why I hate Prince of Tennis, is because he's such a terrible protagonist. And multiple times, Konami has demonstrated that he can do better characters, more intriguing characters than Etchizen. There are so many characters in that story, and so many of them, you just get the feeling that if the plot had centered around them instead, then it would have been a much better series.
I'm trying to think of, like, one individual character or something like that could completely ruin a series. I can't think of one for manga very well. Though I can give an example outside of manga. Does that kind of qualify?
Might as well.
Kate and Lost is horrendous. Like, it's tough to really stress.
This is a classic Rolotia.
This is it.
I've been on this for like as long as I've known you.
She's so awful. It's unbelievable how many great characters were in that series, and fucking Kate is the most infuriating bitch who just constantly ruins things. Like, there's moments where she just comes into an action to ruin it. You're like, God, why? You fucking ruined Sawyer and Juliet getting off the island for no reason. They were going to be happy. Oh, but that, I honestly, generally when it comes to manga, even the ones I dislike, it usually takes more than one character for me to get completely turned around or annoyed by a thing. Although now that I think about it, I really hated Codebreakers, I think was the name of the series, and it was generally because of the main female character of it, Sakura Oji, I think was her name or something like that, who was just the fucking annoying Mary Sue, just told from the very point of time that she's super awesome in everything she does, yet she's constantly being kidnapped and you know, made to be the damsel in distress, and it's just so ungodly, unfucking interesting. I could not stand her. I mean, that series sucked by and large, but she was the most infuriating part of that series.
Okay, so...
Alright, my question then?
Yes.
Alright. From Satellite Love. Dear... Nothing.
actually, wait, there is a second question. From
oh, okay.
Conversely, are there any manga you did not like or downright hated but kept reading because a single character was entertaining enough for you to keep on going? This could apply to any recommendation you had to keep reading anyway.
I'm sure there is. One's not really coming directly to mind.
Usually, whenever we hate something, we just kind of forget the positive elements of it, though. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like an example off the top of my head. I'm sure there are, but I'm not immediately getting pulled in any one direction towards anything.
And also in line with those questions is, can you name the worst and best character from the recommendations you've done, or if it's too difficult to pick one, at least a few candidates? The handling of Satellizer from Freezing comes to mind, because it's like, you don't know whether you're supposed to feel sad for her or for being sexually abused, or if you're supposed to feel like sexually abusing her. Like, it's, yeah. A large part of the cast of Prison School. Spider-Man. A large part of the cast of Future Diary.
We're just going off of,
I'm just doing worse. It's easier to do worse.
Okay. I couldn't stand, I can't remember his name, but the lead from Chaosic Ruin. The one who's like, killing is wrong! Murder, 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 murder.
Oh god, I've blocked out a lot of that series.
I only remember it because I take notes for the podcast, like at work. I'll like, you know, kind of categorize them up in a OneNote. And Chaosic Ruin is, next to Freezing, the one I have the longest group of notes for. If only because I had to, like, write down all these god-awful scenes as I got to them. I was like, holy shit, I forgot this.
Man.
Best character, though? I'll give a couple best characters, because I do like being positive. The Afro guy from Real, I think he was an incredibly engaging character.
Nimaya.
One you kind of... I always want to call him Ninomiya, which I think is what confuses me.
That's because World Trigger.
Yeah. But I liked him a lot. We've talked about a couple characters in Monster that we all loved. I still think Wolfgang's great. Not Wolfgang. What was his name now?
From what series?
From Monster. The...
Oh, God, I don't know.
The guy who goes by fucking the superhero identity.
Right.
I forget his name in the moment now. I feel like it's Wolfgang, but I feel like it's not exactly that or something similar. But anyway, he was a fantastic character with a very sad ending. There's a lot, but I'm honestly blanking on it without having a list of recommendations in front of me. But there are a lot of really great characters as well. Alright. So again, from Satellite of Love, Dear Nothing. It literally says nothing after here. It's just blankness. Dear blank. A question for each of you. Nick, I really enjoyed your editorial on ANN, and I was wondering if you plan on doing any more in the future.
I might.
Oh, awesome. Chris, thank you for answering my question about running music. I really like your suggestions, and surprisingly, Jesus He Knows Me is the one I get the most mileage out of. Thank you. I just want to note, it's a song that if you hear it, you're like, it's not a song about running, it's a song about making fun of fucking Evangelists. It's not about running or energy or pumping anything like that. It just got a great beat to it that I always run to. And he says, I'll throw a couple suggestions your way as well. Tonic by Sonic Youth. Tunic by Sonic Youth. Keep the Car Running by Arcade Fire. Thunder Horse Metalocalypse. I actually used to run with that one. Angel of Death by Slayer. Slayer feels like a bad running song to me. Seems like so fucking angry. B.O.B. Outcast. It's going to be tough listening to B.O.B. now. And Outcast the band. And then B.O.B. That's weird because they're both artists. Alright, and then Run Away With Me by Carly Rae Jepsen. I listened to Carly Rae Jepsen's Run Away With Me. I don't know if it's a great song for running personally, but I can see it. It has the imagery in the lyrics. Run away with me, running, I get it. It's a little soft for me, though, but I might try it sometime. And a question for Chris. Can we expect to see Nemea in a future entry to World Trigger, to My Heart, and Backdoor Saga? He'd probably make a cool villain slash rival figure. I could not do that if I want to have Annalisa have any involvement with it, because she's just going to be angry the entire time if I have Nemea as a kid. She's like, fuck this guy, I hate him. I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything about it. You know, just like how, James Gunn is constantly being asked on Twitter different theories and questions about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And, you know, just like he won't answer them as a true artist with a respect for my creative direction, I won't spoil anything regarding how the next part of World Trigger to My Backdoor at Heart will go. Okay. Yes. So thank you for that satellite love.
All right, next up. No name. Greetings from the UK.
Long time Grimmer. Listener. Grimmer is his name. Thank you. Death Slinky.
Greetings from the UK. Long time listener who loves every episode, especially the digressions at the beginning of each episode. Figured I should write a question after listening to your last Q&A episode. Unfortunately, I came up with three that I hope you haven't gotten before. Question one. Which villains from manga that you currently read, including Naruto, would fit well in another series on the list? An example I came up with was that Gaara would fit in Fairy Tail, considering that the ending of the June Exam arc was pretty much what happens to every villain in Fairy Tail. It is an interesting idea.
I mean, he would. I don't think he'd be as interesting, though, since that happens to everybody in Fairy Tail.
Right.
A character who would work in another series, essentially.
A villain, specifically.
Oh, villains who would work in another series. I feel like Buggy would have worked well in Fairy Tail, actually. Because he's very silly, comedic, and off the top. And even though he was threatening, he essentially got beaten in a very embarrassing way, which is something I definitely feel like would work in a Fairy Tail kind of universe. He may not be the main antagonist, but is like a minor villain in a group. Like one of the members of whatever fucking Aracion 6 or whatever we're at this time. He definitely would fit in with that. He doesn't have a stripping power, though, so he wouldn't go against Lucy.
Question two. Which power from anime manga would you have, and which power would you think the other would have? He also gives an example. Zanpakuto from Bleach would be your ability, but not a weapon's ability. So, for example, you can choose Wabisuke's double an object's weight with a touch without having to actually have the sword.
Oh, okay.
So there are also suggestions which he says we can't use.
Okay. What else? I need to pick a power for you out of anything. Mm-hmm. God, that's a lot. That's... Restrict me to a series. I'm just saying you, Nick. Restrict me to a series.
One Piece.
Alright. I don't think you'd like it because you don't like Cole, but I feel like you'd be good with Aokiji's fruit. But I think given his physical abilities, I think you'd be really good with Zoro's three sword style.
Aww. That's cool. Mine is significantly less flattering. I was thinking of giving you Shishigawara's brass knuckle luck thing.
The luck based power?
Jackpot knuckle, the one where you just punch stuff and you're just like, and see, things just happen to work out for me. And you're like, this is bullshit.
That would work for me, though. I'm like, I punched you and got nothing but cherries. What does that mean? It means you're gonna get hit by a truck tonight. Fuck you! Probability, bitch!
And then you run away.
Yeah, I'm like, later!
Question three. Which, if at all, would be the worst or weakest Logia Devil Fruit? I feel like we have answered this question before.
Actually, I don't know if we've answered it, but I feel like it's been addressed in the series. I mean, there was... It's not canon, but in one of the movies, there was a candy double, Logia double fruit. Like, he turned into, like, a jelly candy kind of thing. That was his power. And I mean, we've seen him. There are some that are just going to be more easily countered than others. And when you think about it, sand is actually one of the weaker ones, just because water is actually a pretty easy ability to exploit. But, I mean, there's some things that you could be like, I turned into this. You're like, that's not really that scary. I dust, maybe. You're like, eh, that's not great. Or, I don't know, like rock. I can still cut rock or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a chocolate double fruit. I've played with the idea of it for characters in the One Piece form I do, but a chocolate double fruit, you're like, well, this isn't that great, right? Like, it's a Logia. Actually, you know what? My friend Frank wanted to make a bread double fruit. A bread Logia double fruit where your thing is you just turn into bread and you get different bread-based abilities. So we'd have, like, baguette launchers and things like that. Maybe that's the weakest one.
I got it. Fish Zoan double fruit.
That'd be pretty bad. But he says specifically Logia, doesn't he? No, he says weakest, worst Logia double fruit.
It does say Logia.
Oh, so okay. water Logia, and you couldn't make your element too much, or you get submerged, and you're like, oh, this is my power, shit.
I think we should get ready to wind down now.
All right, so we'll do just a couple bit more here. We are into February. We're slowly catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Question here. Hello, Chris, rolling on a river, Larios, and Nicholas, why am I giving these guys these stupid nicknames, Freeman? Just wanted to ask how much... Oh, wait, we did this one. Never mind. We did this one already. I think this person said it again. He's asking about...
Maybe our infamous planet joking.
Yeah. We answered this one at the start of last week. Right. Or last month.
I do like the note, which is, by the way, as a UK dweller myself, I can tell you that you two give Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins a run for his money in terms of obviously fake British accents, and I cringe to no end every time you use it.
I feel like you wouldn't enjoy it if we tried to actually do a good impersonation.
Yeah. Mary Poppins!
Yeah, it's all, oi, Mary Poppins, you be all wanker, you! Andre, next question here. Dear Warlord of Doctor Who and Star Wars The Clone Wars T. I got the one I wanted.
I get mine because Doctor Who is, like, time-related. I don't get yours.
Star Wars The Clone Wars T? Whatever. I like Star Wars. I can work with it. I've been a long-time listener to your show, and I wonder if you two have any favorite moments or rants that you remember fondly. Like Chris when he was talking about Fairy Tail during your Dorothy Wizard of Oz episode, and Nick's rant about Spider-Man. I don't even remember what my rant was about.
I don't remember that either. I will have to go back and listen to that. I do occasionally go back and listen to some episodes. Basically, yeah, if there is a really huge rant that either of us go on, that does always stick out in my mind, and I tend to go back and listen to it. So the obvious ones that you can think of right now, like freezing, I like to go back and listen to because we both get so angry about it.
Your future diary one. Like, just the fact that you were so tired throughout it, too.
And I'm just going to, like, oh, I'm going to hate this episode.
It's my favorite one because you're so tired, and it's, I guess, because you were so tired, you just stopped giving a fuck halfway through, and it was just like, question the family, point 12! This is the same one. Point 13!
Point 14! This is finally something I... No, wait, this is a compliment. Hang on.
It's fucking great. I'll never get you drunk on the podcast, but that's the closest thing that it was to it.
The Spider-Man one is a great one. One of my favorite individual moments ever in the history of WMR is when I go, fucking save a cat from a tree! And you're like, be Spider-Man!
What the fuck, Spider-Man?
Oh, and you had some great moments in that, too. I mean, I kind of, you know, glory hogged it a bit, but you had that moment where you, like, where you know, you go, you should die! People like you deserve to suffer and then die! What the fuck, Spider-Man? That is a fantastic episode.
I guess one that always gets brought up to me, it was even referenced in one of these earlier ones, is, like, the chapter of Naruto, where they revealed the Sharingan caused people to be genetically more prone to being megalomaniac villains when they love somebody. I was like, this is so serious, destroyingly bad. His magic eyeballs that make you evil when you love somebody and they die.
I also really like a bunch of the episodes where we've had a guest on. Ones where we had, Yuzu Takuan. The Our Own Host Club is one of my favorite old episodes that we've done.
Yes. We have a lot of good guests on. We need to get a couple more. I might be working on some more guests this year.
Okay. Is it my turn to ask? It's my turn. From Jack Lebrano. Dearest Nick and Chris, my favorite woodworkers. After watching and enjoying your Bleach movie commentary, I've learned some cool things about myself and you guys, like Nick, has either played or seen Let's Plays of Undertale. It is the latter. I haven't played it myself. So with that, I've got three questions. The first two are for me. Nick, who is your favorite Undertale character and why? It's either Sans or Papyrus. I mean, very obvious choices. And while I'm on this subject, Dr. Alfie's fucking sucks. Fucking hate that character and everything to do with her. I have no idea. The whole point of the game is that you're supposed to, you know, make friends with the main characters and forgive everyone. And this is like me going, I would not be able to forgive her for what happened, for what is done specifically to you, the player, by her. They introduced that whole, you know, side arc in order to make her more sympathetic, that has nothing to do with her interaction with you. And so I would just be like, she inconveniences you because she's a loser. And that's it. Like, it is... I fucking hate it. I can't. I'm done. I can't keep going. Though. Favorite song in the game? Megalovania. I mean, come on. It's a fucking awesome song. For both of you, if you two were given the rights and Kubo's blessing to actually write a Bleach movie, what would it be like? You can find out the answer by becoming a champion level patron.
For this answer, please pay $5 for like a DLC pop to the video game.
This is not an answer that I came up with exclusively for that, though. I've talked about it before, so I don't mind talking about it again. I would make a movie about the beginning of the series that culminates with Ichigo confronting the Grand Fisher, because that is the tightest plot thread that you can have going in a movie. Yeah. Yeah, to have no background information, you can introduce everything and set it up, and answer it.
And it plays like a Hollywood movie, and you can still tease more. You could be like the Gem movie, where you set up plot threads for a future movie, despite the fact it bombed the fuck out of theaters. You know, they actually wanted to make a Gem, G.I. Joe, and, what's the other Hasbro product that has a movie out? But they want to make a crossover between the three properties, and you're like, how the hell did you think this was going to work? How the hell did you think Gem was going to show up in G.I. Joe and this was just going to be okay?
Well, they made that movie. Oh, God. All right, I think that we'll do maybe one more.
Oh, was that? Oh, yeah, so that was all from that one. All right. Yeah. All right, we got here from Gjelfsen. Gjelfsen. I have a question for you. Hey, guys. I don't know how well you know the manga group Clamp, but if you see a list of their works, you'll see that they're very prolific with a number of series they produce and how a lot of them are connected, especially with the characters. If you were to tackle their many series, do you think you would do them in chronological order?
Probably not.
No, I mean, probably not. Unless
we could, but then you're also asking us to cover a lot of work from one group.
And also a lot of similar type of work. They're all essentially romance series of some kind of supernatural element to it, like Magical Girl kind of romance series, if my knowledge is correct. They do Card Captors and like Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicle, I think are the only ones I really know. I know vaguely, I've watched a couple episodes of Card Captor when it was on US television, the dub, but outside that, I don't know shit about the other stuff. I just vaguely know what I assume the premise is.
I don't think that they actually do a lot of Magical Girl stuff. It is primarily shoujo, if not exclusively, but it is not all just Magical Girl stuff.
I think people are telling me I'm very wrong, so there you go.
I would definitely be interested in doing some Clamp at some point, or Clomp, or however you hell you're supposed to pronounce it, but I don't know if we would be able to say, yes, we will definitely start with the first one they did and then move on from there.
Alright, I think we should do at least one more, just because that one was a kind of simple explanation.
Okay, no name listed. Big fan of the show. I have a question and a recommendation for you. The recommendation is actually Ajin, so there you go. The question, what do you guys think makes combat interesting in manga besides good art? Why the fights in Bleach have no impact on me or on you guys, but the ones in One Piece do? I have several ideas about this, but I'm interested in what you guys think.
Well, to reference an earlier discussion we had, let's compare this in wrestling terms. What makes a good wrestling match?
This is the last question we're going to answer today.
What makes a good wrestling match? Well, you can have a lot of splashy moves in it, and that can be exciting, but if there's no reason for these guys to fight, if there's nothing at stake, if there's nothing interesting behind it, who gives a fuck? I mean, that same sort of logic applies to fights in manga. If it's just a bunch of cool powers, or what Kubo thinks are really cool powers working against each other, and there's very little narrative weight to what's happening, it's not going to be a compelling fight.
And also, I mean, the actual working of the combat does, however, play a role. Mm-hmm. There is a reason why there are wrestling divisions out there that exclusively just do flippy-flippy, spot-spot, flippy-flippy, spot-spot. It's because it's exciting and cool to watch, even if there is little context to it. If instead you're just like, this is a really important fight between these two guys. First off, of course, it really does matter if that has been built up properly. A really good build with not a very good combat payoff was still infinitely preferable to, this was supposed to feel like it meant a lot, but I didn't really give a shit about either character going into it. So it's a balance between the two. I mean, if you end up having, like, this is an important character because I say they're important, this is an important character because I say they're important, I haven't demonstrated either way, but then they do have a really cool-looking, you know, fight, it can have at least that entertainment value to it. So, on that level also, if you have a protagonist whose whole thing is, like, I will shoot my Kamehameha away after getting punched a lot, that will be the end of the fight. Well, that's going to be kind of predictable and boring by the end of things. If they have to, at the very least, tweak the way that they use their signature attack, that, you know, that can do some stuff. And then that's why also characters will learn new techniques over the course of a series in order to keep things new and so on and so forth.
And it can help tremendously to tell a narrative within your fight itself. Within these moves that you're making, if you're able to then create substance, something to digest as a reader for a narrative purpose, that's what makes an incredible fight. I mean, that's what makes wrestling great, is when a wrestling is being told, or when a story is being told throughout the wrestling. You know, people will reference different fights and the strategies they use and how that's telling part of the story, like an underdog who's trying to wear down a big opponent or something like that. But that same kind of thing applies to manga at points. The fight between Luffy and Usopp back at Water 7, it's carried tremendously based on the fact that it's Usopp's usual silly tricks, but it's so much more intense because Usopp is really giving a shit for the first time and not being a coward. And that goes a long way towards making that fight so much more than what it might have been if that same effort wasn't put into it. So there we go.
All right. Well, that is going to do it then for our Q&A. So thank you everyone who joined us. We just answer questions here on hitbox.tv/RoloT, where we also record our regular show, 6-7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time usually. If you want to send us more questions, of course, you can just email them to us. Send them to weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com.
I need to preface that with something, though. If you send it in, the only request we ask that you put questions somewhere in the title, but don't have your email subject just be question, because we use Yahoo for this, and what I've realized is that Yahoo assumes any email with the exact same subject line, even though it's from different senders and not related to each other, it just assumes it's part of the same email chain, and we can't see it when we click that, whatever the newest email is. So if you send it in, put question, ... banana cream, fucking whatever, or something. Just put something, questions and a recommendation. Questions for you guys. Questions because I love you. I heart questions. I believe in a thing called questions. Whatever. Just put questions somewhere in the title so we realize it, and then try not to go just for your question.
A good policy would probably be to say, like, a question from, and then, like, the name you want us to call you on the show.
Yeah, that's also a very good reason.
Anyhow, you can listen to this and many, many other episodes on our Podbean, WikimonGreenCap.podbean.com. Also, we're on iTunes, where you can subscribe to us. And special thanks to our Patreon supporters, because you guys make it possible for us to do this every month, along with our movie commentaries and our bonus episodes. So thanks, yes, guys.
You got us here. That's going to do it. All right. Anything else we want to say before we head on out here, Nick?
Nope.
All right. Goodbye forever, everybody.